we're in awe of our God, and we ought to be in awe, but I think a lot of times that we're kind of in awe of ourselves, and we forget just who God is. So I picked out some things to remember, to bring to remembrance of all the things that is awesome about our God. A God that created everything, ex nihilo, and exists outside of the creation. A God with three persons and still one true God. The only source of truth and the beacon of justice and authority that cannot be denied. A constant, never-changing light to the world desperately in need of that light. We have a covenant with the only one we can ever totally trust. He loved us when we despised him. And we arose and came to our Father, but when we were still a great way off, our Father saw us and had compassion and ran and fell on our neck and kissed us. He was long-suffering toward us when we sinned against him. His words many times have lifted us up when we were downhearted. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He did not come to call the righteous, but us sinners to repentance. He prayed for us in the garden that he would always keep us and never lose us, and not one and no thing could ever tear us from him. He knew us before we were born. He gave us armor and weapons to fight the good fight and perseverance to win the battle. He makes all things new, and he will make the whole world new again at the end of all things. We are able to claim the crown of salvation with confidence in our Savior. We will be able to stand before his throne with the cleansing coal on our lips. We are blessed by his grace. We are humbled before his awesome countenance. We are in awe of our God.
3 weeks ago, I spoke of starting a series on the boldness that should accompany faith. I talked a little bit about what happened with the apostles there at the very beginning of the church when they were just so few in number. And they were arrested and brought before the ruling body of the nation, these impressive, intimidating men, and ordered never to speak in the name of Jesus again, never to teach in the name of Jesus again, on pain, in fact, threatening them with death. And what did they do but go back and prayed for boldness, and they, in fact, received that boldness to continue to teach on Jesus. I talked about R.C. Sproul in a commentary on this passage, said that if anything marks the American church at the beginning of the 21st century, it's cowardice, not boldness. And that a major difference between us and the first century church is our lack of boldness. But I want you to know that around the world there is still that kind of boldness in our brothers and sisters in the faith. And that's what I'm hoping to do in this series, is to let you know about some of those things that we might be inspired. I want to talk first about Pakistan. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mujahid El-Masih was here in Mansfield and spoke. He talked about that currently 51 nations around the world restrict Christianity and persecute Christianity. 33 of those nations were Muslim nations, and included in those is Pakistan. Pastor El-Masih started out born to a Christian family, but with very weak Christianity. In the course of his growing up, he became a Muslim because Muslims had greater advantage in education and everything else. He went into the Pakistani military academy as an officer for training and was trained to be a martyr for the cause. Their greatest teaching is that if you can die killing enemies of the faith, you will instantly go to a paradise. But he was struck with the emptiness of that and brought back to faith. He became a church planner, especially in the area of a village named Shanti Nagar. In that village and in surrounding villages, there were enough Christians that they actually built churches. They got across of the Muslims, though, when they brought charges against the local police station for abusing power. The police station asked that they withdraw those charges. They refused. And so on the last day of Ramadan, the police began spreading a rumor that the Christians had ripped the Quran and thrown it into the Muslim worship place. Mosque. Thrown it into the mosque. And this is what happened. They did that on the last day of Ramadan when the Muslim feeling was the highest. Throughout that February night in 1997, the police spread a rumor that the Christians had torn the Quran and thrown it into a mosque. Many Muslims were incited to seek revenge on Christians. That night, Muslims rose up from all over the area and began to scream out in the mosque's loudspeakers for Christians to take revenge and kill Christians and burn their homes. The newspaper articles and reports from that day estimated that 30,000 to 70,000 Muslims rioted against the town of Shanti Nagar and surrounding villages. The line of Muslims marching on the village was 5 miles long in one direction and a mile long in another direction. Complete chaos was in the streets. Shanti Nagar and surrounding Christian villages were in flames. Cattle and livestock were burned alive. Farms and fields were set on fire. Vehicles were destroyed. The local medical center, the schools, and all church buildings were burned to the ground. Men, women, and children were running for their lives. Women who were pregnant were fleeing on foot. Some gave birth as they were running. Approximately 200 women were raped. It is hard to put into words the depth of our sorrow in the midst of this painful and traumatic event. The babies born had no clothes and were in the cold approximately 1,500 homes and 13 Christian churches were burned. We had no home insurance, farm insurance, business insurance, or auto insurance. Christians of Shanti Nagar lost everything they had in 3 hours. 3 days later, on Sunday afternoon, homeless Christians met in unity for a corporate worship service. As one of the pastors in the area, I was asked to speak. I sought the Lord on what to say to these devastated believers. The Holy Spirit led me to speak on forgiveness. The Lord wanted me to remind Christians that we are to forgive our enemies, the Muslims. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is the hardest message I have ever been asked to give. All these Christians have been violated, made homeless, and impoverished. Now I am to tell them to forgive the Muslims. God's hand was upon me, and the Holy Spirit moved the people as I spoke of the power of forgiveness. At the end of my message, I asked for all the Christians to stand and pray that we would be able to forgive the Muslims who destroyed their lives. All the people stood, and we prayed in unison. Pastor Massey talks about the contrast between Muslim martyrdom and Christian martyrdom. In Muslim martyrdom, they kill themselves and others out of hate for enemies of the faith. In Christian martyrdom, people sacrifice for their enemies. They sacrifice out of love for those who have persecuted them. He asked, what is a more powerful statement? The rioting of the Muslims for the Quran and the hatred that it reflected, or the Christians forgiving their enemy and the love that was reflected? Which do you think is a more powerful statement? He believes that it has the ability to sway and persuade Muslims. He says, Jesus told us to expect persecution. He quotes John 15:18. Can you put that up now, Spencer? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He says that we are called by Jesus to be witnesses, and the Greek word for witness is martus, M-A-R-T-U-S, from which our English word martyr comes. Persecution drives the people of God forward, he says, and the spread of the gospel. You know, he talks about the power of healing that's still there. The things that we read about in Acts, they are taking place in these places. He talked about coming on a Muslim couple in which the woman was crippled and the man was trying to bring her along. He asked her, did she want to be healed? And he said, yes. He says, have you prayed in Allah's name? And she said, he said, yes. What happened? Nothing happened. Have you prayed in the Prophet Muhammad's name? Yes, I did pray in his name. What happened? He became worse, or she became worse. And he said he knew at that instant that Christ was going to heal her. And so he prayed very loudly, and luckily his wife was there so she could put her hands on her, because a man can't put his hand on a Muslim woman. And he prayed very loudly, and when he completed that prayer, she got up and walked. Those kinds of miracles are taking place for these people who are so unutterably bold in their faith. And he concluded by saying, around the world people say there is no hope. But there is hope, because the world is full of martyrs of love willing to lay down their lives for grace and truth. Lord, we are inspired by these people who take their faith so seriously and so boldly. May you inspire us to be on fire for you as they are. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.